following episode of Dave's Video Graveyard contains spoilers and naughty words. Listener discretion is advised.
Everyone, and welcome. You are listening to Dave's Video Graveyard, but today we are beginning something a little bit different, where Dave and I have been wanting to start this for a while, where instead of exploring films, we're going to be talking about TV shows, but more specifically, the best, worst TV shows. So we are now going to be delighting your ears with a small segment that we like to call Shit Show.
That is right. Thank you, everyone. Welcome to the very first episode of Shit Show. We decided to climb to the top of the pinnacle of Australian television for our very first episode.
We dug our way to the bottom of Australian television.
We did do a Shit Show special a while back where we covered a general range where we got the likes of Who Dares Wins, Australian Gladiators, Fire, all these amazing films. Go back and listen to it. You'll get a bit of a gist, but this evening or today, whatever time you're listening, got to stop time stamping, even when it's not. It's daytime right now, so I don't know what you're on. Anyway, we are celebrating Hey Hey It's Saturday, the absolute juggernaut of Australian comedy slash variety.
1971, it went through to 99 and was rebooted again in 2010, which is a lot of time to cover on TV and pop culture. To help us make sure that we do it completely correctly, we have someone helping us steer this. Chris Fresh here from Hey Hey It's the Podcast. How you doing, Chris?
Hello there, Casey and Davey. Number one, talk about a misnamed segment, Shit Show. I haven't heard a bad show mentioned yet, you know, Australian Gladiators. Hey Hey It's Saturday. Like we're talking like this should be the great Australian TV show.
You know, like all those podcast places like Consequence of Sound and all the like the AV Club. Like, we're going to go back and look at these movies and see if they're problematic by 2021 standards. We're not just doing that. We're going, remember those shows that were kind of shit? They're so shit now
that we love it. Yeah. We need to embrace these
and
things.
And I need to explain before we get into it, Chris, the reason that you are here, it's not just because of the amount of times we're stepping on your guys' toes by doing an episode on Hey Hey. It's more so, do you remember when Jurassic Park, do you remember when Godzilla came out in 1998 and Puff Daddy sampled Led Zeppelin? And to make sure it didn't upset everyone, he got Jimmy Page to actually in on the track to play the guitar on it so that it was as a conduit so that everyone didn't rage out. So you are our Jimmy Page today, and not just because of your questionable sexual history. You are here today to help us celebrate something that you celebrate every fortnight on Hey It's the Podcast. Why did you guys start that podcast?
Well, firstly, Come With Me by P. Diddy is a banger.
Secondly, it's how I got to know who Led Zeppelin were, so I'm not judging.
Are you serious?
And Deeper Underground may be Jamiroquai's best song, and that's from the Godzilla soundtrack as well. But we're talking about Hey Hey Saturday. What got me started on it? I noticed somebody had said that old episodes of Hey Hey are on this website now, and you can subscribe to it. And I was like, this I've got to check out. And I went to heyhey.tv and it was like $7, like $6.95. And if you subscribed, every single episode of Hey Hey It's Saturday, plus the best and worst of the Red Faces and those things were available on this site. And I was like, this is amazing. And we'd record my other podcast, Geek Dudes. And afterwards, just to chill out, we'd go sit in the lounge room and put on an old episode of Hey Hey and just to watch it for the musical acts, just to see what was going on, because it was a kick down memory lane. Because I think for most of us growing up, unless you were one of those little jerks that watched Young Talent Time, we at 6:30 on a Saturday night, you watched Hey Hey It Saturday. Yeah. And
your whole family would get together and watch it.
Everybody watched it. And I think through modern eyes, people can't understand just how big that was in terms of there was no footy on a Saturday night. There was no rugby on a Saturday night. Like, legitimately, unless you were a young person going out, and even if you were a young person going out clubbing, you probably went out after Hey Hey anyway.
Yep.
So unless you were going to
Hey Hey was the real drug. To, That's what you wanted before.
Yeah,
you went.
So did Hey Hey come on at 6:30 or 7 o'clock for you guys?
It was 7. It was seven in New South Wales.
It was either 7 or 7:30. I think it was 7.
I wasn't sure if they fed it live or just you guys kept the time slot because of the time difference.
Saturday on TV always had an 8:30 movie, so that would have meant that it would have been at 7 o'clock, followed by some sort of whatever was cool.
Yeah. So. For people that can't understand that, there were 5 TV stations in Australia. There weren't like Galaxy and then Foxtel and Optus Vision didn't come into Australia until 1995.
You could only get them in pubs at that point.
Yeah. So if you want to watch TV, you had Channel 7, Channel 9 and Channel 10, or you had Channel 2 and SBS. That was it. Like, and I know I sound old when I say that, but like it's hard to get your head around. Like my kids couldn't get a grip on that. And so there's nothing to do on Saturday night but watch Hey Hey It Saturday. And it was going to give you the biggest celebrities and the biggest musical acts because if you wanted to be seen, you had to go on Hey Hey It Saturday.
And do Molly a favor for him to do one.
well, that was in his spa later on, I think. But so we were going back and watching these episodes and it was amazing. You'd get that, I remember this moment, or I remember this musical performance, or this is really cool, or I can't believe this person went on the show. And then it was like, we need to podcast about this.
Yeah.
And so we started plotting out podcasting about it. And somebody that used to be on Geek Dudes, he was like, no, fuck this. I hate Hey It Saturday. You know, Daryl's a piece of shit. The show's racist, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to cover it. And I was like, that's cool. You don't have to, because a lot of Australians have that attitude towards Hey Hey It Saturday, where I more view it that you can go, it was a Hey Hey It Saturday problem. But if we're going to get into it, I know I sound very serious. We'll have some fun with this in a minute. But that was Australia at the time. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's right. No. I'm not condemning everybody as wrong either. You know, it's just the way it was in the country at the time. You know?
I tell so many people, I still think one of the greatest cultural barometers of what Australia was Hey Hey It Saturday, and to a lesser extent, Round the Twist. It was just all encompassing, that's not a word. It basically gave you everything that you would expect in society. So whether it was thinly veiled racism, like anything with ends with an ism, it was in there. Like it's where I fell in love with the amazing Jonathan, who I think informed so much of my sense of humor. Even to this day, I'm seeing things about myself and going, that all stems back to my love of his delivery and the way his comedy worked. But also the most important.
And for me, I draw cartoons, so you know that also came from there.
Andrew Fivestar.
No, you're a Fife girl. Yeah.
And for me, the most important connection that I have to Hey Hey It's Saturday is I had in 1992 discovered that ladies made my whole body tingle. I realized my love
certain
for
body
ladies.
Parts moved on their own.
It was 1992, and as a tie-in, because quite often if a production in Australia was gangbusters or doing really well, it would tie in to Hey Hey It's Saturday, whether it be Hey Hey Go and Visit Them or they come into Hey Hey. 1992, the greatest rock star of Australian history, that is one John Farnham, was being in a stage production of Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yes.
Dude.
They did a live performance of It's All Right and one Miss Kate Sobrano, who I have sitting in front of me, my personally signed copy of I'm Talking by Kate Sobrano. I fell in love with Kate Sobrano and ladies in general that evening, and I've never looked back. John Stevens couldn't even wipe the feet of John Farnham on that night. A performance.
Well, it's funny you say that because, number one, that's on my rotation in the Spank Bank.
Oh, yeah.
Because Kate Sobrano, I will fight anyone who questions just how hot she was and still is.
Whatever. I do not.
Really? Like, no, Kate, like, and specifically, I'm with Davey on this one. Kate Sobrano as Mary Magdalene in Jesus Christ Superstar. Just, I saw it.
Have you seen who
plays her
now? I saw
the stage show.
Mel C.
No.
Oh, I can see that.
It's fucking garbage.
But even, like, I know it's, and funnily enough, so much of Kate Sobrano's book talks about how she could not stand that there was never a review about her music that didn't mention her body or her looks or, you know, anything removed from her actual
talent. Because her music sucks.
And no, it very much so does not.
Hang on, young boys are a week. Pash, like,
Bedroom,
like,
Eyes.
She's had some.
Every Little Thing That You
Do.
Great
song. Yeah, like, oh, I won't. This is, I can't believe she's being attacked.
The Masked Singer?
Is, no, no, the shit show is this show.
Nice. And honestly, I've said it many times before on DVG. I'm constantly catching myself because I did as a kid. I used to think that I was kind of in a Truman Show scenario. Like, I always felt so self-important that, like, everything I did had some kind of meaning. And things keep coming back that make me think that. And I'll never forget many years ago, Kate Sobrano started starring in, like, bras and things poster ads on, like, billboards and phone boxes. And
those.
I was like, that's for me. The universe has put that there. That's just for me.
You manifested it yourself.
Yeah. No. I tweeted once that Kate Sobrano is still in my Spank Bank. And she clicked like on it, and it was like, yes.
Oh, yes.
I was like, she either doesn't know what Spank Bank means.
No.
Or,
to think we got 11.
I took that as she was all right with it.
We made it 11 minutes 30 into us being friends, and then it just totally, now we're enemies because I'm so insanely jealous of that. Anyway, we're talking about Hey Hey It's Saturday.
Well, yeah.
It started off as a kid's show literally on Saturdays.
Did it?
Saturday mornings, I believe. Is that the case?
Yep. Yeah, it was sort of like the equivalent, if you're a bit older, the Early Bird show.
Huh.
Or like the, it was the Saturday morning cartoon show.
Aptly titled Come On Kids. That was a kids'
variety show. We were talking a few weeks ago when we did Under Siege. We were talking about how when my life flashes before my eyes.
Yeah.
I'm weirded out that also Marty the Monster getting beaten up by a kangaroo will also make that highlight reel.
Like, there's no doubt that Fritz is our version of the Tiger King. Like, Fritz is the dude that handled all those animals that would appear on those shows. He is our version of the Tiger King. But yeah, so it was a kids' morning TV show that made the transition to, well, you wouldn't think of it as prime time now, but at the time, it was primetime TV, 6:30 on a Saturday night, and there was nothing like it. So just say Under Siege had to send Steven Seagal down to promote the movie. He's going on Hey Hey It's Saturday. If a band wants to promote their new album release, they're going on Hey Hey It's Saturday. That's how big the show was. And in modern TV, I think that's what we're missing.
Mm. Yes.
And it's why... it's a bit of a bummer in I view it that what was cool about Hey Hey, it was like you were seeing celebrities come play on our home ground.
Oh, 100%. And the other thing that I really love in regards to that was the accessibility to some of these stars was actually really almost unfortunate on how much of a step down it was for some of these celebrities. Like, I think you guys did quite recently the episode where Janet Jackson was on the thing. You know, we're talking sister of the biggest pop star in the human, you know, societies, civilizations. We are talking about the sister of the biggest star in the world, and they're just letting people come out of the crowd and give her gifts and talk to her and stuff. And this is someone that, you know.
The fans got to her.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
There was no glamour to the, like, it was a set that just looked like it was built out of coloured bits of cardboard almost. It was brightly lit. Like, it didn't have the mystique of Hollywood about it whatsoever.
Like, you're not, and it was such a product of his time as well. I don't think you'll ever get that again. Like, you're not going to get one of the biggest movie stars in the world having to make small talk banter with fucking Craig McLaughlin and have no idea who Craig McLaughlin is. And be like, why is this really smug guy with curly hair giving me shit? I don't know who this man is.
But so we saw a recent attempt to revive something similar called Bring Back Saturday Night by Rove McManus. And it bombed. It died to death.
Yeah, that's so bad.
I'll tell you why it died to death.
Because Rove was hosting.
No music. Yeah, look, I'm not a Rove fan either. Like, I pray at the altar of Daryl. But there was no music. And it was like, don't you understand how big music played a part in Hey, Hey, It's Saturday? You know, like, on Mother's Day, I'll never forget, and we reviewed the episode, you know, having Def Rhyme come out and perform their version of Mama Said Knock You Out for Mother's Day. Like, what show closes the show doing that, you know? And the opening act might have been E17, yeah. You know, like there's nothing like that. And I think where Rove went wrong is not inviting the musical element, because there are plenty of cool Aussie musical acts if you didn't have the international ones that you could have showcased to mix it up a little bit. And, you know, you might get young people paying attention going, hey, you know.
Because it had the
Denzel Washington's, you know, this person's going to be on there. Or, you know, like, mix it up with celebrities, with music, and with comedians. And I think you can get attention, but there's nobody's really showcasing the music side of it.
Nothing has filled the hole left in, like, Aussie entertainment that was left by, jointly by Hey Hey It's Saturday, on a lesser extent, Recovery.
Yeah.
There's been no place where, like you say, an artist that, even if they're just starting out, they can go and kind of, you know, be themselves and get over themselves. Like, as in, like, here we are, this is who we are. We get to showcase a bit of what we can do and everything. Let's see if you guys enjoy it.
Well, it's because everything now is this sort of glossy marketed view where you're a press release photograph, a video clip, and a song that people can listen to on, like, Spotify or something. There's no approachability to any of these people anymore. They aren't on TV. They aren't in interviews or doing a live performance.
And it was a product of that time where risk was still a factor. Like, I know you guys highlighted on the podcast, 1 week, like, you know, Molly would go on and tell everyone in Australia, go and buy the album by Babylon Zoo.
And buy Babylon Zoo. Shit the
then
next
the
week.
Following week, the following week he'd show up and be like, you guys need to listen to this new Slayer song. It's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, that would not happen on anything.
Do yourself a favor.
Yeah, it's and I love Molly's doing a new thing currently in 96 where he does Hit Pick of the Week, where he predicts that a song's going to be a hit or not, and his strike rate isn't great at the moment. he's having a rough time. But, you know, having Molly push for artists, and I'm sure labels went on him as well, you know, to get stuff out there. But, like, bands like Davey, your band would have had no chance of being seen on Australian TV. Like, especially with now, it's even worse with Channel V gone.
Yep.
You know, and local music channels. Like, there's no presence for bands at all. No, and I know music's different. Like, people aren't buying albums, et cetera, but, you know, for that exposure, like, if you're here and you want to play, like, the smaller venue, like the Corner Hotel in Melbourne, as an example, I don't know what the Adelaide equivalent would be, you know, if you went on a show like Hey Hey and could showcase yourself, you're going to sell it out.
Yeah.
You know, without question, you know, and there's no avenues like that. And that's where I think it's a shame. Look, reunion shows, it didn't feel right. Like, I know we're jumping around, but Hey Hey It's Saturday finished in 1999, and there was a reunion show in 2009, I think, and then it came back proper.
Fuck you, Harry.
In 2010.
For eight months.
And
didn't even last the whole year.
Well, do you know what's funny with Harry Connick Jr.? I'm with Davey in It Was Always Like – you know, he threw Hey Hey under the bus, because for those that don't know, the Jackson Jive was an old Red Faces act where dudes wore blackface and danced to Jackson 5 music. And naturally, the Australian audience, not being as culturally hip as America would be with their predominant African-American population, clapped along and had a great time cheering it, and 10 thrown around all around. And Harry Connick Jr. threw up a zero and said, you know, that wouldn't play where I come from, which is fine. You know, he's entitled to do that. But what I didn't realize was, in my head, that was the end. It wasn't. It ran for a year after that. So it actually wasn't the end of it. But I think what Hey Hey hadn't sort of worked out was, in the world of social media, everybody gives a running commentary of their thoughts. And that running commentary of their thoughts can sink you. Yeah. Because say, in 1995, I watch a Red Faces act, and it's like, even now, like, Jonesy will message me because he watches it first, because he grabs clips and he goes, "We have blackface in capital letters." And so I'm ready for it. And I watch the Red Faces act, and it comes out, and it's like, oh, this is awful. Like, could you imagine it today? Blah, blah, blah. But you got to think, back then, you saw it, and then the next day you probably forgot about it, and you didn't think about it again, and Red Faces was back next week.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now you watch the act, and you're going to tweet out your immediate thought as you're viewing it, and nothing can survive the weight of that. Now, it's good in a lot of ways that things like racism and overt sexism can't be carried, but sometimes it can go too far to the other side as well, I think, in terms of sensitivity. And I don't think Hey Hey It's Saturday was ready for the modern world. And it had only been 10 years. And I don't think Daryl knew what hit him. But you could see the look on his face of, you know, what do you mean? Like, I'm Daryl Summers. Like, it's, what do you mean? This isn't the way it is anymore. And that's why, hey, I don't, like, if you ask, would I love Hey Hey It's Saturday to come back? Yes, I'd be morbidly entertained by Hey Hey It's Saturday making a comeback. I always thought maybe Foxtel or someplace like that, it had a home, or his website. But do I think Australia wants it back and would allow it to come back? No. And it's Tall Poppy Syndrome again. Like, Daryl can go fuck himself. He's not coming back. You know, people don't want Daryl appearing on Carols by Candlelight, let alone bring back Hey Hey It's Saturday.
The first week a returned episode of Hey Hey went to air in Australia, you would have thousands of 18 and 19-year-olds calling, who's this boomer on my TV?
Yeah, pretty
much. Why is this boomer telling me to go and buy this CD? Like,
they wouldn't even be watching TV. Like, it would have to be some sort of interactive app, YouTube video podcast combination that had some voting system. Like, it would have to have some sort of chronic ADD to even get through to a market now.
I want
Rove McManus couldn't do it.
No.
Well, like, so then do we go, can Hamish and Andy pull it off? You know, like, who can pull it off?
I think it's a format that doesn't work anymore, because we've got so many things at our disposal so quickly that we only gravitate to the things that we know and like.
And like you say, also with the way the technology ties into it, Fresh, back in the day, you would have to sit there and watch and tape. Say you couldn't get to Melbourne, or you couldn't get to a capital city, and you just, for argument's sake, you're a fan of Merrill Bainbridge, right? That very specific example. You're a fan of Merrill Bainbridge. You're going to see her live on Hey Hey. You're going to get the idea of what it's like to see her live, even though it's lip sync most of the time. You can get an idea of what you'd get at, you say. You might tape it and watch it again if you really cherished it and you loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now, that hole's filled by the fact we have YouTube. It's like, oh, I'm going to go watch this music video. I'm going to go watch that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get more of an experience at home, which you used to get through the screen of your TV, which you just don't get anymore.
Or even that sort of magic of watching something like Recovery or the Channel V thing, and you're watching it because you're seeing Merrill Bainbridge and Kate Sobrano comes on after it and you're like, I don't know this, but I really like it. And you discover new things because you were shown a variety of things that you didn't type in and click enter for.
Yep.
That we don't get that anymore.
It's the life before algorithm. There was no algorithm. You were going to get, you know, I'm watching four blokes from Woodville like whistle out of their belly on fucking Red Faces. And then two minutes later, I'm hearing about the fourth single from Peter Andre.
Yeah.
Or, you know, 10 minutes later, Dean from the Curiosity Show is showing me how is showing me how to put like a cigar tube up my ass and make a flamethrower. Like, honestly, it was a catch-all. And you can't get that wide of a net anymore.
You just can't.
You cannot get that. Like, I would love, like, now that deepfake technology is where it is, I would spend every cent that I own if there was a way to put a filter on your TV that every time James Corden came on,
oh my God,
it just changed the voice and put Daryl Summers over the top of it.
The familiarity that felt comfortable when you watch it, you know, like just say they didn't have a guest, just knowing that Willie and Red and the band could interrupt Daryl with a "Hey Daryl," and like completely hijack the show with a joke that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Or Russ is going to yell out something from the audience with something that's deliberately unfunny, but it just makes you laugh. Or Fife is going to draw something so inappropriate that, you know, you go, oh my God, like, and it's evidence. So, like, he's written it down. Or Blackman, who is such a dick, like, in everything he does. It's you're right. I think also some of those elements, like the sound effects and the drawings and stuff like that, came from the kids show and morphed into the nighttime show. And it's why it would feel so weird to attempt it now. But I also think people don't like hosts. We've just seen WB Kids has now been axed, and it's now just the cartoons playing because stations look at it and go, I can just throw the content out there without the human element and I can save money.
Do you think a part of the magic of like what we're remembering so fondly about Hey Hey It's Saturday is that it wasn't marketed to us kind of thing? Like it wasn't like here's a like picture like David Letterman, for example. Here's a popular band that's already really famous, and now here's a stand-up comedian that you already know, and then here's a Hollywood celebrity being interviewed. Like Hey Hey didn't have that. It was like people that came from their house to turn up to do Red Faces, or a Australian band that had only just released their first album, that kind of feeling. You know, it felt less aggressive.
I loved the way it was formatted where, like, just as they were going off the air of some episodes, Daryl just in passing would be like, oh, and you two is here next week. Anyway, we're running late. Here's the Saturday night movie. Like, we're running late. We're over time. And it's like, what? Hang on. That would be like, you know, world news anywhere else.
Yeah, and they'd hype that up for ages if that was now.
And then what, like... And you've got to think, like, up to three musical acts, a comedian, a talent show, and a spinning wheel giving out prizes with a duck.
And
Molly doing a mini version of Countdown, all in a two-hour show.
And that's not even getting into the poorly drawn caricatures of anyone that's foreign in the crowd. Like, honestly, it's the gift that just kept giving.
Or the random things where they'd be filming them, like, throwing watermelons off of a building outside in the car park and shit.
If you were old or you were fat and you went on Red Faces...
Oh, yeah. You're getting drawn.
You were not going to win in a positive way.
Did you ever get one of those caricatures done when you were a kid at some sort of, like, you know, state... fair thing where they caricature you and you've got like enormous teeth and a big nose and stuff and you're like, what on who is this person that's just bullying kids and drawing these pictures? It was like that, but
Casey,
like
I am the physical version of one of those drawings. I don't need them to make it any worse, but like but I do feel, and once again I always grab myself of like, you sound old when you say this, but I do feel it's a bummer that there's not this one-stop shop that's uniquely Australian that we have that we could all sit around and watch. But that's not how things are viewed now. Like my kids, I drag us all into like Friday evenings is the one thing of we're all going to sit here and have dinner together and watch something and you're going to like it and that's it. And they're still somehow on YouTube on their devices.
Yep, yep.
You know, like, I was like, how did that even happen? Like, why am I hearing some kid playing Skylanders on their TV through an iPad while I'm trying to get us to watch our TV?
And the closest equivalent that you get now is the likes of The Project, which that show is smug for the sake of the presenters being smug for themselves, smug for the good of themselves. Whereas Daryl was smug for the good of the product. Like, he might have had the biggest, shiniest paddle, but he was rowing the same boat as everyone else was. Whereas now it's like, I'm going to go on the project and say something, and then I'm going to push my Twitter. Make sure you come to my Twitter. They're pushing their own brand. They're going into business for themselves. Whereas, Daryl never lost sight of the fact that they were all rowing the same boat. And I implore anyone that has a chance, get on YouTube and watch, because there's plenty
of heaps of full episodes.
If you're not going to go down the Moneybags route of Chris Fresh with his Reginald Dwight syndrome, paying all this money to stream the episodes, go on YouTube.
Don't tell Daryl that he stopped charging me.
Okay, we'll leave
Daryl needs you $6, everyone.
I implore you to go back and watch, because any time that you get sent a viral video because of its cringe, there is a bit of that in there. You are getting the old person on there that doesn't realize that their belly dance isn't getting laughed with, it's getting laughed at. It is a magical time.
Finding those, like, the worst of red faces or whatever, the amount of cringe entertainment is so enjoyable for me. Like, it's something that's turned into a whole new enjoyable sensation to watch all over again.
On our first episode back of 2021, they had these two great acts on Red Faces, and then the third act came out, and it was a weird looking dude in a cowboy hat, and the act was Rhinestone Cowboy, and Red stood up and immediately gone. Right, the dude didn't get a bar out of the song. And then Daryl comes out and goes, look, I think we should let him perform. It's okay. And then the dude started performing, and it's as bad as what you would imagine it was going to be. And then Red wanders out and stands next to the act and goes, well, you're just going to have to listen to it now. I tried telling you. And it's like, there's nothing like that anymore. Like, it's so funny and so entertaining. I don't know. Maybe my kids would watch it and think it's lame. I don't know. Like, my youngest son loves Red Faces. Like, it hasn't lost its charm in that regard, but for me, I was openly laughing.
Yes.
But I wanted that to go on for 20 minutes.
Tell me another time in human history where blokey bloke, sheep shearing, you know, no-nonsense bloke that would punch you in the face would listen to a pink ostrich telling them about a new movie or a new time zone opening up. Tell me another time in human history that would ever happen and work.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I think talking it out with you guys, it does make me realize that I think the time's passed for a show like this, and the only way Hey Hey could have survived was if it didn't stop.
Yeah.
You know, like, the biggest mistake Daryl made was stopping. And
it needs to fall into that groove of the Grant, what I call the Grant Daniel groove, where it's like, oh, just keep showing up. Just put them on. much like the character from Office Space.
It's, yes,
like,
there is.
If we stop paying him, he'll stop showing up. Like,
oh my God, that's so good.
Fresh.
But yeah,
thank you.
I was just going to say, I do hope that we at one day, maybe just once, get one last run where Hey Hey does a show. Like, I thought a great idea would be if Hey Hey did a Christmas show every year.
Oh,
and yes, it's just a one-off show. You know, it's only at Christmas. They're going to get some special guests on.
And your racist old Nana can get everybody around.
Red Faces, you do Plucker. You just do it once and you get out.
I like it.
That would be incredible.
I don't know.
I think that there's something really lucrative in nostalgia now, because our world has become so – there's so much involved in surviving in the modern world that we look back to those times before we had the internet as this simple, humble time that we want it back, but it's never coming back. So I think that there's something really marketable in that feeling of nostalgia, that it's the right time to do something exactly like what you just described, because people would find it so comforting. I was at my friend's house the other day and she just had her phone on, and for some reason she likes watching A Current Affair clips because they're so funny. And so she had the sound of A Current Affair on and she was doing the dishes and cooking dinner. And something about just the sound of that in the background was this most amazing feeling of like comfort. I don't know what it was. It just took me back to a simpler time. And I was like, that was actually really nice.
Oh, 100%. And because I obviously found the streaming service through essentially your podcast, Fresh. And that is comfort food for me, because it's not just nostalgic. It's so white bread. It's vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, it's vanilla ice cream.
Sorry, it's Viennetta ice cream. It's easily accessible, but no one will say no to it if it's sitting in front of them.
So, it's average, but it's always good.
Which is why it is a shit show with love.
Yeah.
Fresh, thank you so much for joining us. It's pretty much getting you in on your day off to do what you already do.
Always happy to talk a bit of Daryl.
Let everyone know where they can check out everything you've got going on.
Yeah, okay. So I'm at Chris Fresh on Twitter and Instagram. And if you like Hey Hey It's Saturday, or you just want to hear three returned white dudes sit around talking about the episode that they just watched with loving eyes, you can check out at Hey Hey Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, and facebook.com/ Hey Hey It's the Podcast. Hey Hey, It's a Podcast. We've been running for a few years now. We started in 1994. We're up to 1996. We sort of chose the mid-90s because that's sort of when we came of age as young men and got a pretty decent memory of the pop culture of that time as well, which comes in handy because it's always exciting when, you know, Faith No More or somebody's going to turn up on Hey Hey, It's Saturday. It still gives me that buzz now at 42, as it would have given me when I was 15. So it's really a cool time to sort of go back and visit.
Awesome.
Magical. Awesome.
Dude, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Keep doing what you're doing, I think. And I think all the listeners definitely need to check out the Hey Hey, It's the Podcast, because it does give you the feeling of remembering things, and it's like you're watching it, and it's it's definitely a feeling. That's
one
sure.
Thing that I find amazing as well, like, because you do it episodical, there are so many things I remember like that.
Yeah, same.
The guy that went on and did that slam poetry, there's no way I saw that anywhere else. And then the kid that copied him.
The kid that copied
there's
it, yeah.
Songs by the Scared Weird Little Guys and by Leno
and
Woodley
and
I would not have remembered. But somehow when you guys bring it up, I remember vividly that episode, having not revisited it. So
I love that feeling.
I have the same thing. Like, my memory gets triggered. I'm now watching it on a CRT TV.
Oh, my makes God. It feel
even more. That's what, I'm the only idiot that's taken an Apple TV and reverse engineered it. So it goes from HDMI to AV into a CRT. Nice. But yeah, and look, we've just got to keep the podcast going, because if we don't, there's no coming back as Daryl Show. That is
it. This is Shit Show. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us. And of course, it Chris is. Fresh, the very first episode. I think it's perhaps the best episode we've ever done of Shit Show.
It is the best episode of Shit Show. And if you've stayed this long for the end, thank you very much.
This is DVD's Shit Show.
DVD.
I'm not saying we have the resources to save the poor from their lot. There will be people always perpetually struggling. Look at the goal.